is DEIDONE. We'll talk about that in a moment, but first, it's September 19th, 2023, and these are your headlines. Special session, here we come. In Texas, the legislature meets for 140 days every 2 years, unless the governor calls a special session. These can last up to 30 days at a time and are specifically on issues the governor chooses. With Governor Greg Abbott expected to call lawmakers back soon for a special session on school choice and education, one House member is asking him to expand that call to address priorities left unfinished during the regular session earlier this year. In a letter to Governor Greg Abbott, State Representative Brian Harrison thanked the governor for his commitment to passing school choice, but noted that more needed to be done. He's calling for the following 11 issues to be added. Let's go through them now. 1, secure the border by passing legislation similar to HB 20. House Bill 20 was the House's version of a border security bill that would have, among other things, created a border security task force. That bill was killed in the last moments of the session, the last weeks and days, by Speaker Dade Phelan. He sustained a Democrat point of order. It was on the calendar, and the last day that those bills could be considered, that was killed. 2, protect medical freedom by banning all COVID-19 vaccine mandates and ending deference to the CDC. Believe it or not, here in Texas, we actually still have employers issuing COVID vaccine mandates, even as states like Florida have banned them. 3, rein in executive emergency powers so a future governor cannot abuse them. Many might be surprised to know that right here in Texas, we were actually under a COVID state of emergency until, I believe it expired in May, just a few months ago. So for over 3 years, Texas was in a state of emergency over COVID. Texas legislature has not addressed that. Senate has tried to. Those have been killed in the House. 4, another bill that was passed in the Senate and killed in the House, prohibit hostile and communist governments from purchasing Texas land. That's right. Right here in Texas, we have hostile foreign governments like China, communist China, coming in, buying up thousands of acres of Texas land, farmland, land near military bases. And the Texas House killed legislation that would have addressed that this past session. 5, protect our grid from attacks and reform our energy market by setting reliability standards. Certainly a lot to be done to make sure that Texas's grid remains reliable. 6, ban all taxpayer-funded lobbying. Every time this has been brought up in the House, it's gone down. It actually did have a vote a few years ago. House members voted it down, including many Republicans. 7, eliminate job-crushing regulations by sunsetting any that are not reviewed every 4 years. 8, reform the constitutional provisions on impeachment as proposed by Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. We'll talk about that in just a moment. 9, end destructive ESG policies by statutorily defining fiduciary duty. Certainly, we see this leftist ESG investing come into play when we talk about the state's own investments. 10, protect Texas women and girls and define women in statute to thwart Biden's abusive policies. And 11, establish a path to eliminate property taxes by requiring future surpluses be used to lower rates. A great list of 11, I'd say. Certainly 11 things that we should say probably should have been addressed during the regular session. And the major theme in all those is that for the most part, if you go back, most of those passed the Senate, they were killed in the House. Now, a special session is expected in October, and it's going to be one to keep a close eye on. We'll see what the governor ultimately adds to that special session call when he does in the weeks ahead. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says House Speaker Dade Phelan should apologize to members after championing the impeachment of Attorney General Ken Paxton that was soundly rejected by the Texas Senate. Now, since Paxton was acquitted on Saturday of all impeachment charges, Patrick has been critical of the House-led process, blasting the House for rushing through the process and not following proper procedure and interviewing witnesses. In response, Phelan has accused Patrick of attacking the House for standing up to corruption. Oh, brother. In an interview on the Salcedo Storm podcast, you can hear that right here at Texas Scorecard, Patrick said Phelan should admit to members he was wrong rather than create a, quote, a new conspiracy to cover up their tracks. This is what Dan said. He said, quote, he just needs to be a man. He just needs to step up and say, look, we were wrong. We rushed this. This case fell because of our process and all those Republicans who voted for this, who had their arms twisted to vote for it. They should say, you know what? I made a mistake, voters. I'm sorry. I listened to the speaker. This was a rush to judgment. I was wrong. In the same interview, Dan Patrick also denied rumors that he had any influence in the outcome of the trial, saying that even if I attempted to suggest to one of them how they should vote, they'd throw me out the door. These are grown men and women. These are mature adults. It's an insult to them. He also called any suggestions to the contrary a conspiracy theory, referring to those pushing it as, quote, a bunch of losers who are crying now on their beer, saying, oh, well, it has to be someone else. We did our job. They did nothing. You can listen to that entire interview, as I mentioned, on the Salcedo Storm podcast here at Texas Scorecard. And this is just another data point illustrating the growing rift between the two chambers. If you watched or listened to the show yesterday, we talked about that growing difference between the House and Senate and how this impeachment fiasco is only the latest example of that coming to fruition. By the way, we are going to talk with Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick tomorrow. I'll be posting that on my X. You can see that at B. Walton's tomorrow evening. Check it out. Lastly, are Texas's universities actually getting rid of DEI policies? Texas A&M's Office of Risk, Ethics, and Compliance released a guidance sheet educating employees about the implementation of a state law preventing universities, state universities, from promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion principles. Senate Bill 17 by State Senator Brandon Creighton bans Texas's public universities from establishing a DEI office, using DEI criteria in their hiring practices, or requiring employees or prospective employees to attend DEI training, something that a lot of conservative activists have been calling on the legislature to address. However, the restrictions do not apply to academic instruction, student organizations, student admissions, guest speakers, or scholarly research. Texas A&M now says hiring practices, quote, must be conducted in accordance with system and university policy, which has always been and continues to be that faculty members are hired based on merit. The university also cannot, quote, compel, require, induce, or solicit any person to provide a diversity, equity, and inclusion statement or give preferential consideration to any person based on the provision of a diversity, equity, and inclusion statement. You may remember back in June, Texas Scorecard reported that Kathleen McElroy was hired as A&M's new journalism director and was a proponent of DEI measures at the University of Texas at Austin. McElroy told NPR that journalists, quote, can't just give people a set of facts anymore. I think we know that and we have to tell our students that. That's just a little bit of what she said. Texas A&M watered down McElroy's proposed contract following criticism from the public and members of the University Board of Regents. Ultimately, Texas A&M University settled on a one-year deal as a professor without tenure and a three-year appointment as the director of the journalism program, emphasizing that she could be terminated at any time. McElroy rejected that offer, later receiving a $1 million payout from the university. Soon after McElroy's rejection, A&M President Catherine Banks resigned. Now, when it comes to ending DEI programs, the legislation banning this doesn't go into effect until January of next year. But you already are seeing universities preparing, as we've mentioned here. We will be keeping a close eye on these schools, however, and their implementation of the new law. Unfortunately, when the legislature attempts to rein in bad behavior from other governmental groups, that result is often that they attempt to skirt the law. The critical race theory bans of a couple years ago come to mind. Names of departments get changed, employees get shuffled around. We'll continue reporting on this and other stories at TexasScorecard.com.